Good afternoon, I'm Khaki Walton. Checking on the arts is made possible by contributing listeners like you.
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Put down the knitting.
That's right, Cabaret, Germantown Community Theater, closing its 53rd season with this timeless classic. It opens this Friday and runs through May the 25th. Performances are Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2. And as always, they're having a sensory-friendly performance with an American Sign Language interpreter on Sunday, May the 18th. Jacqueline Suffel is directing the show, and she joins us this afternoon to talk about a really neat way you can become very involved in cabaret. Hey, Jacqueline, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Khaki?
I am well. I didn't want to do the usual Liza Minnelli thing, so I thought, there have been so many revivals. Go back and hear a revival album. So that was from 2021, Jesse Buckley singing when Eddie Redmayne was the MC. So I thought that'd be fun. Well, how excited were you when GCT asked you to direct this show?
So I was over the moon, and I was also incredibly intimidated. I love this show. I was actually in a production of it at Theater Memphis in 2010. And I always dreamed of directing it myself and being able to kind of exact my own vision. I think the space is amazing for it. I actually think cabaret in a very intimate, small space is the perfect way to do it.
Yeah.
And I was really excited to be able to kind of put it in this immersive, you know, location. And it's easy to do when you're in a very small, cute little schoolhouse. So, I was really, really excited. And I knew that our city is just teeming with talent that could knock this out of the park. And I was very lucky to get a super talented cast.
So tell everybody about the immersive part of this, because I think this is so cool. The VIP immersive seating.
Yeah. So one of the things that I really wanted to do, and this is probably one of the only things that we share with the current Broadway production concept, is that when you walk in the theater, you're in the Kit Kat Club. So you come in and you are in a space that has been transformed into the Kit Kat Club starting at the door. And there are actually actors who are working as wait staff and as a bartender, and they're a part of the bar that kind of help orient you in the space and interact with you. And then we actually took out the first row of seating and added in some cute little tabletops to kind of put you right up close in the action of the show so that you can really be a part of it. The band is on stage as well. They're an integral part of the club. And so our goal was just trying to transport people back to 1933 Berlin.
That's a great way to approach it. I swear that's so exciting. And you're right. I was going to ask you later about the GCT space being so perfect for this show. So when people walk in, are they just going to be in like a seedy, gross Berlin nightclub?
Oh yeah. So Christina Hernandez, who is wonderful, and Rachel Crenshaw, who both work at GCT, have really transformed the lobby into this completely different space than what you're used to seeing there. It's otherworldly. We've been watching it happen as we've been working on stage. And every time we go on break, we see how the lobby is just, you know, transforming. And it's sort of like the set is spilling out into that space, right? And so it truly is like you are dropped into a new location and you have gone back in time. That's my goal.
Wow. Well, let's talk a little bit about the origin of this whole piece, because before it was a 1972 movie that got Liza Minnelli an Oscar, this started out as a book which became a play, which became this musical.
Right, right. So it started with the Berlin Stories, which was written by Christopher Isherwood, and then it got transformed into I Am a Camera, which is a straight play. Straight meaning no music. It's definitely not straight, meaning sexual orientation. And then Candor and Ebb took it, and they made it into what we know. And they actually went through several rounds of it. So, they did, I think, 61 and 66. So there's been a couple different versions of it as well. And it has grown, I think, over the years and sort of melded and changed. And it's one of those musicals where directors have really put their fingerprint on it every time that somebody has taken it and, interpreted it and made their own. And I certainly feel like I've taken it and put my own fingerprint on it as well.
Well, I know that people are so used to the Liza Minnelli, but really and truly, in this story, which is based, it was a real life experience for Christopher Isherwood when he was in Berlin at
Yes.
that time. People think, oh well, she's got to have a great voice. Sally Bowles has to have a great voice, which you probably do in your version of the show. But originally, she really wasn't supposed to be that good, was she?
Not necessarily, right? And I ended up with Jackie Cooper, who is an operatically trained, gorgeous singer. And so it's interesting to watch her navigate this because she has such incredible vocal control. And when she decides to sort of turn on the grittiness versus when she decides to really showboat and show you what she can do, I think that what is most important about Sally, right, is that she is a bit of an enigma. And she's charming and she's also very broken and she's also, very mysterious. And we don't have a lot of information about where she was before and what brought her here. We get glimpses of her vulnerability, and what she might have been through. But she's a complex character, right? And so, she's clearly had enough talent to get this far, right? And the question is how? And so I think Jackie does a really great job of traversing all of those different layers of her.
Well, I always thought that the way that Sally behaved, it was like she was trying to present this character, like her whole life seemed performative because she wanted to be another person and change into something else. And so you do see those little glimpses of insecurity or trauma or something, but she's got a mask on the whole time, practically.
Absolutely, absolutely. She definitely has invented a persona that has done her well, to be honest. It has helped her survive, and it has gotten her to a place where she can provide for herself, and it has gotten her to a place where she has opportunity to do, what she wants to do, which is sing and dance, and dictate the way that she lives her life herself. But there's some disingenuity, there's something that's disingenuous about who she's presenting herself to be. And you get to see those moments when she's with Cliff and she's able to be vulnerable because she's feeling loved, right?
So, the play, though, the musical is different from the film version. Have they tweaked it and stuff to make it more familiar to audiences who are familiar with the film, or has the story changed, or have they added things to it?
So the version that I chose to have was oh my gosh, I think it's the 67 or the 68 version. The version that I did at Theater Memphis was the 61 version, and it was missing a lot of the songs from the film because the film, that was way in the future. And this integrated a lot of the songs that they wrote to eventually be used in the film. And so, for example, maybe this time, that wasn't in the original, and it's a beautiful song. Money wasn't in the original, so there a lot of the songs that you look for in the film are in this version.
Well, good.
And I will say, at least in my version, I aimed for quite a bit of realism, and I told my actors from the start that this is a play with music. This is not a musical. And that I really wanted them to sit in this world and be very real people, and that acting came first above everything else, and that there was not an objective of perfection when it came to singing and dancing. because that's not what these people would have been in 1933 in this club.
Yeah.
And so it was much more important for me for them to be good storytellers and for them to lean into the real truth of the piece, which I'm probably going to get in trouble, but I don't think that that happened in the film as much. And the film was really a stylized piece that I think is its own art, form, and it's beautiful. But I really wanted to lean far more into what is the actual story we're telling, because I think that it has a lot of parallels with where we are right now.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, you can't do this show unless you have a great Sally Bowles and unless you have a great MC, and you have a fantastic MC.
I truly do. Nathan McHenry is killing it. He's incredible. He played it before at POTS, Playhouse on the Square in 2018 or 19, I think, when they did their production. This take is totally different. He's doing a completely different version of this character. I had a vision for what I wanted this character to be and how I wanted it to move through the universe that we were building. And he has just embodied it so fully. And this role really provides us with an opportunity to showcase all of his talents. And so he's got a couple surprises for people, things that he's doing that the average MC could not do because of how talented he is. So there's some tricks up our sleeve with him.
Well, I'm intrigued. All right. So I noticed something in the cast list too that I went, what? Courtland Whalum is playing a chanteur.
Yeah,
How does that fit in with everything?
so Courtland, I had this vision that I really wanted because I wanted, again, this whole immersive experience, right? And so Courtland, I wanted him to establish as basically in the script it says that Max, one of the characters, is part owner of the Kit Kat Club. So I was like, who's the other part? Who's the other half, right? And I was like, I would like to make Courtland that other half of the owners of the club. And so if you show up early at like a good theater goer, you get your own personalized concert from him. And he does a pre-show that happens that is jazz standards from the era to sort of warm up the crowd and get everybody situated mentally in space and time, right? So you get a bonus show from him. He's integrated throughout the production, very much so, and is a part of their world. He is clearly the owner, proprietor, resident, fabulous dad, of the place. And he has several moments of getting to sing. He does an intermission, a couple of intermission numbers. So he's a super big, important part of the immersive quality of the production. And he's just so damn talented. I want to use him, any chance that I get, because I could listen to Courtland sing all day long forever.
Right. I wish we could talk more about the rest of the cast and stuff. I know that you have a supreme tech crew and great choreography. And Tammy Holt is the music director, but she's also part of the Kit Kat band. They'll be on stage performing too. I love the way you're approaching this, Jacqueline, and I can't wait to come see it. I can't wait to see what new things Nathan is going to throw at us. This is going to be really great and a wonderful way to close out Germantown Community Theater's 53rd season. It's Cabaret opening this Friday, running through May the 25th, and you will be dropped right into the Kit Kat Club when you walk into the lobby. A performance is Friday and Saturday at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2. Sensory-friendly performance with ASL interpreter Sunday, May 18th. An immersive VIP seating, $50 or $25 surcharge if you have a membership package. Get your tickets by calling 453-7447 or go to gctcomeplay.org. And I also want to mention that the show is sponsored by Bill Short for John Roan. Jacqueline Suffel, directing Cabaret, and she's been my guest this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Khaki. Always a pleasure.